producer, Guy Phil.
Wow. Why do I start off every podcast with wow?
I don't know. Maybe you're just constantly in a state of awe.
Maybe it's like euphoria or something like that, that I'm just always in that like zone where I'm like, wow, everything is good. Everything is awesome. Don't even do it. Don't do it. I knew you were going to do it.
Damn it.
But how's it going, everybody? This is the debut episode of the PG Podcast. That's right. I've announced that I'm putting my PG podcast on, I'd say, temporary hiatus here, and I'm going to be doing a podcast. It's going to accompany Puck That. It's a lot of Puck, actually. And so we're going to talk about highlights and stuff like that. It's not going to be like crazy over the top. What are you thinking? Like Puck That is, although maybe we'll get into some stuff like that. But it's predominantly just going to be Hems and I most of the time sitting down. Hems going to be joining me for a lot of these. If not, it might just be me by myself. And we're going to be doing this video-wise, which is why you can see us this time. You can see our jerseys here in the background. Hems has got his headset. Yeah. Very gorilla kind of style here. We're going to get better mics, as you see, because he's rocking a headset. I want to get a Blue Yeti so it can be on the desk here, and I can just be like, oh, look, I'm talking, as opposed to having to actually adjust this. Which, good start, I actually had to adjust this, as you've just seen. Actually, while talking, I'm like, yeah, so lift up subtly. And,
well, I mean, I think you've got your laptop kind of sort of blocking it, so it's you just got the...
Yeah, actually, I think it was very subtle, but you can see it gradually just like lift towards my mouth here. So like we said, the concept is we're going to be talking about hockey news. Hems is going to be here, I'd say, a lot of the time, but there's going to be some times where maybe he's like tired or whatever and he's not going to do it. Maybe there's some times where I'm going to be tired and I'm going to be like, Hems, take over the show. And he'll be like, what? Why am I doing this?
Hi there, hockey fans.
I don't know what to do. So Andrew Shaw.
What? Like,
I can see you doing something like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were literally talking about something right there, and I was like, why would you make a Freudian slip about a soccer player's name or footy player's name?
That was the joke, Hemsa. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay, all
right. So you know what, we're gonna dive right into our first topic here. It's first of all, actually, before we get started, were we both about to simultaneously drink? That's really weird. I want to talk, actually, a little sad news is general manager, former general manager, and former coach Pat Quinn passed away recently over the weekend. And when I heard this, I was a little devastated, just because when I was like in my big, huge, like kid phase of hockey, Pat Quinn was the GM and he was the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is back in, like, I don't know when he first got his job, but I remember watching like 2000, 2001 and stuff like that, when you had like Sundin, you had Hoagland, Roberts, who else was on that team? Caberle, McCabe, Tucker, Corson, guys like that. And I remember seeing Pat as a personality on the bench. And especially, you might know him too, during the 2002 Team Canada run. He was heavily influenced in that one.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on Pat Quinn, Hemsa?
Well, and I mean, he's like, from the time that I watch hockey, because the time that I watch hockey was kind of, I remember it was like probably around like 2000 that I started watching it. And it was right until like one of the first lockouts that's the time where I watch hockey quite regularly. And I know from my time watching it that, you know, Pat Quinn was a real mainstay for the Leafs. Like, you know, he was the Leafs coach at the time for me, like when I watched it. So he was a constant in a game where you had teams switching GMs left, right, and center type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Pat Quinn was, you know, again, like I said, a mainstay of the Leafs at the time. So, like, I mean, he's, and that's not the only team that he managed. That's the thing, is that he's left his mark on so many of the teams, a couple of teams around the NHL. And so,
yeah,
definitely for the NHL world, it's a devastating loss. And so, you know, he's left us with some pretty fond memories. And
absolutely, first Canada gold at the Olympics in 50 years. He was a huge hand in that, and his work with the juniors is unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
like he built a bunch of those junior teams during that tear Canada was on before. I think it was ended by the Russians in spectacular fashion, which I remember like watching that game with my cousin. And after like the lead, he had, he's like, "Oh, Russia's gonna come back," and I'm like, "Dude, you're such a pessimist, man! Like, come on, support your country, damn it! Like, red and white all the way, man." Doesn't mean we don't have respect for other countries, though.
Honestly,
we love all nations. But to end the block, Pat Quinn, this episode's for you, buddy. Rest up there. Chat it up with all the greats. And we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dive into the first major topic here. Hems' favorite player, Sidney Crosby, has now just hit 800 points. Pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, you can hate the guy, you can love the guy. He's one of those players that, you know, divides the opinion as far as, you know, like I said, yeah, whether you like him or hate him, but you can't deny that the kid's got skill.
Sid, the kid does have skill. And it's actually not Hems' favorite player. I'm just chirping him there. But yeah, with stats like this, 283 goals and 517 assists in a not so crazy long career. I think, you know, he got a start in 2005, I think, and he's already amassed 800 points in less than 10 years.
That's pretty damn good. And I mean, considering, like, I think he's had his fair share of injuries, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, he's not the biggest guy, and so he does pick up his fair share of injuries. When you play as good as that, you're going to get targeted. So he's had to deal with injury, and yet still he's sitting here, you know, and just recently picked up his 800th point. So, you know, again, like I said, you might like him, you might hate him, but you still got to have respect for that. So
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because he missed a lot of time with that post-concussion syndrome. I think it was like at least half a year gone, factoring in, I'd say, maybe injuries amongst his 9-year career, give or take. Let's say he missed a complete year. So 8 years and 800 points, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, do we even say, is he going to come close to Gretzky numbers? He's getting there. Do you think he's going to... And I don't know if he'll beat the great one, but goddamn, he's going to give him a run for his money.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Crosby's still fairly young, and if you think about it in terms of that, is that hockey careers are a lot longer than you might give credit for, and, you know, sometimes some of the greater players will stay longer amounts of time because, you know, when they're playing levels like this, when normal players are like that, the decline that you have as you get older and older, by the time he might decide to call it a day, he'll still be a pretty good asset to whatever team he's going to be with at the time. Whether it's going to be Pittsburgh that he's going to stay with right until the end remains to be seen. But you know what? Yeah, we might see him here for a long time. He might have that in mind that he's going to gun for that.
Yeah, honestly, I see him personally maybe staying in Pittsburgh his whole career. If not, I don't give him more than three teams. He'll be three teams if he does retire, and that's like it. Like, even Gretzky wasn't that much. He had Edmonton, then he went to LA, and then it was St. Louis, and he finished up with New York. So four teams. I had to count out there just to make sure that I didn't like screw up or anything. And I'm like, okay, Edmonton, LA, St. Louis, and New York. But even St. Louis was short-lived. But like I'm saying, I don't see Sidney Crosby going more than three, four teams max. Like, that's the cutoff I give him there. But 800 points, still pretty damn impressive. I think he's going to get up to Gretzky numbers. He'll definitely get that far, especially at the skill level he plays at. He's still top three, top four, or five for points, for goals. He's always an insane contender. So I think he's definitely going to be up there.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
How do you feel about the guys trying to stop him? Like, how do you feel about the goalies going against guys like Crosby, man? Like, they probably have the toughest job out there.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, it's a certain mentality thing that you got to get yourself psyched up if you're going to play against players like that. And you've got players like that all across the NHL on any team. It's not just Crosby. You've got guys like Ovechkin. You've got guys like Taves, Kane, Gabriel Landeskog, Matt Duchene, John Tavares, guys like that, you know, they're everywhere. So it's not just like it's one guy that you're particularly afraid of. And it, like I said, yeah, it's something that you have to get psyched up for as a goalie, that you got to get yourself into that mental zone that you're going to say, okay, you know what, tonight I'm not going to let Sid score. And you know what, sometimes it does happen because everybody's human. Sid can have an off night.
Exactly. And you think about it, when you get yourself so psyched up in that zen zone, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be like my best every night and stuff like that, that you can produce unbelievable highlights. I'll give you an example. There was a game between the Dallas Stars and the Los Angeles Kings where Kari Lehtinen got the puck. And we're going to have the highlights, I guess, right down, like, I guess this middle area here so you can see it. But he got the puck from his crease and he flicked it out, like, straight to the red line to Sagan. Like, I'd say tape to tape perfect, and just went in, deked him out. I've barely ever seen a play like that.
Yeah,
that was unbelievable.
Oh yeah. And it's like, sports like footy or hockey even, it's crazy to see something like that, like a goalie right to the forward and then it's in the back of the net. And you know what? Tyler Seguin's been on fire this year as far as the Stars go. Like, I mean, he's top scorer in the league with 17 goals. And you'll see there's another goal that he scored recently that John Klingberg passed it right to him again in the same sort of play, right from the Dallas's end, right up to the opposition blue line, and then Seguin just picked it up one on one with the goalie, buried it.
Honestly, it's just phenomenal. Like, his skill set, I think, was underutilized in Boston. I don't know if it was the move to Dallas that really, like, woke him up, and he's just like, whoa, I need to step up his game. But being paired with Jamie Benn, and we all know that game he had last season where him and Benn put up, like, fantastic point totals. It was amazing. But I don't know what it is with the entire Stars team. I don't know if it was picking up Spezza and picking up Hemsky, and then, you know, they're just feeling that, okay, we got ourselves a solid kind of dynamic team here. We got rookies coming up doing fantastic things. Like, we can make a run for this. And I've always like respected Dallas, especially since the 90s when they had, like, Brett Hall, and then when they had Darian Hatcher, Mike Badano, Ed Belfour in the pipes. But seeing them now, it kind of reminds me of stuff like that. And especially with John Klingberg. This goal was fantastic enough where it would make Russ Tyler and Gordon Bombay proud. It was off the faceoff, outside of the blue line. Went right over to Klingberg. Puck was knuckling, just smacked it. And I've never seen a puck curve like the way it curved. It was like going towards the crest, and it was just like, ha, nope. Right over the glove hand of Victor Fast. And I was just like, I was speechless. I've actually never seen someone dynamically score with a knuckle puck like that, where it's arced. It was like I'm watching a Manchester United footy game, and the ball just went boop and curved, and I was like, holy crap. For those of you who've never played hockey, a knuckle puck is the most unpredictable shot to even stop. And unlike the movie where it's like, it's hard to be accurate, it drives goalie crazy, you know, he's right, it is hard to be accurate, and it will drive goalies crazy, but you never see, because it's like an impossible shot. Like, the whole setup time to actually stop it is, that's Hollywood, dude. You're not going to, like,
oh, yeah.
But to actually see it perform with that kind of curve, it's mind-boggling, dude.
Well, that's if you see the replay, if you go back and then look at it, or if you look it up elsewhere, like, you'll see that the Edmonton goalie has his glove up ready. Like, he sights it so that he's like, okay, it's going right here, and you see it, like, have some crazy dip, and it goes right under his glove, and he's just sitting there frozen, because he's just like, it's just, you don't really know what to do in that situation. You're just like, how, what?
There's nothing you can do when you see a puck like that that's curving. It's unpredictable. You're thinking, okay, it's going at my chest. And the last second, you're like, oh, crap, I got to get my glove ready. And then next thing you know, it's in the back of your net. And it's like, the defense can be like, oh, what'd you stop? It's like, what could I have done? If I went to the post, would it have occurred to this way? It's, like I said, it's the most unpredictable shot ever. And good for John Klingberg to put a goal like that in. Like, and just, I think the best was, like, the commentators. Like, he scored a goal from the red line. You could almost feel the excitement in his voice, but, like, in the tone, it was like, did he really just score a goal from the red line? Like, that was, like, the tone I picked up. Like, did that really just happen? The only fortunate thing I'm happy about is that wasn't Ben Scrivens in the net.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love Big Benny S, my boy, Ben S.
Yeah.
But honestly, that was insane. But, you know, speaking of goaltenders like that, Roberto Luongo, this guy has been through, like, a storm of controversy his last, like, 3-4 years. It's like, am I going to get traded? Okay, I'm not traded. Okay, no one's going to sign my contract. Okay, I moved to Florida. Corey Schneider is now starting over me. I'm in Florida. I'm with Timmy T. Okay, Timmy T's gone. And, like, this guy is just, everything he does is, like, newsworthy now all of a sudden. So he's playing a game against the Hurricanes. Yeah, okay. So, you know, not very, it's the Hurricanes. Stalls, I love you, but come on, guys, step up your game. And empty net, we're talking, was it 4x6? I think that's what the actual definition is, the 4x6.
Yeah.
Open. Barriers are in the ice. Bobby Lou just glove down.
Yeah.
How do you miss something like that? And then he just kind of lays there like, do I have it? Please. Do I have it?
Well, that's, again, like, if you look back on it, like, when the Hurricanes forward there is sitting there, he's got, like, yeah, he's got about 2-3 feet of an opening right there, and you see him, it's like, okay, this is what they call in soccer, they call a sitter. It's like a chance so easy, you could score it sitting down type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so then it's just, you see Roberto Luongo reach over, set his glove down so that it's like that, and then as soon as the puck comes, he just right down, captures it, and it's just at a stretch like that. You see him at full stretch do that, and that's just, that's absolutely insane. And, you know, as seeing, you know, seeing the ringer that he's gone through, like, it's good to see that, like, he's starting to get his, it seems like he's getting his career back on track after, like, the last couple of years of hell that he had to go through with Vancouver. And, you know, it's like you were saying before with Sagan, is that, like, it's sometimes you need a move like that to kind of, like, kickstart your career again, that it's just, like, to give it that little spark that you need to get back into that groove where you're pulling off great performances night in, night out.
That's actually a good point that you brought that up, that the move to Florida maybe actually help rejuvenate him, because Florida right now, if you look at the team, that the way they're built, they picked up Dave Boland in free agency, but as a Toronto fan, I'm still kind of upset about that because I like Dave Boland. They drafted Aaron Ekblad, who's going to be, he's going to be like a prodigy defense. Trust me. You got my boy, Soupy, Brian Campbell on the blue line, which makes me entirely happy. And Bjugstad is up there too, Jussi Jokinen. So it's not like that team can't produce, because they got some fantastic players. And I'm expecting big things from Florida coming up within the next 2 years, especially if they get like high like draft this round, because there's tremendous talent coming up this year. Of course, the notable two is Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid, which Buffalo and Carolina, the front runners. And oh, Connor McDavid, man, I don't care, Jack Eichel, you're taking second banana, buddy, because Connor McDavid's going first.
Oh yeah, no, that's like the numbers that he's been putting up. I think like the last you told me, the one I can remember was he was at a point where it was 45 points in 15 games. Like, Connor, slow down.
Seriously. the fact that he's putting up numbers like that, he's like, they're calling him the next one, which is, they've called, I think, four other people the next one. They've called Eric Lindros, which that obviously didn't pan out. They've called Crosby that, appropriately, and Johnny T. They've also called him the next one, John Tavares. I have to specify because there's Taves and there's Tavares, so I should specify that. But yeah, Johnny Tavares, Connor McDavid, Eric Lindros, and Sidney Crosby are the next one. With Connor McDavid, I can see it. But the problem is that can a team like Buffalo or Carolina build around a Connor McDavid? What do you think?
Like, I mean, it's tough, that type of thing, because you got to see in the next couple of years. Like, yeah, if they were to pick up someone like Connor McDavid, you got to see who a Buffalo or a Carolina can pick up from trades or free agencies to be able to build around, because it, you know, it depends with certain players. Like, you're starting to see teams wanting to hold on to some of their, like, you know, franchise players.
Yes. So
like Chicago locking down Kane and Taves with these insane contracts. Oh, yeah. But rightfully enough, with what they can produce, yeah. And it's like, also if a Buffalo or Carolina are able to, if they're going to be able to hold on to someone like Connor McDavid, unless, like, if he starts putting up insane numbers, then it might come that there's like another team that comes along with a trade offer that you kind of can't turn down. And whether it's, if they're going to be able to afford, like, you know, a contract that would suit Connor McDavid and would want to keep him. So it's a lot of factors that you got to take into account as to whether a team like, you know, whoever would pick him up are going to be able to keep him on and also be able to build up around him.
Honestly, I don't see a guy like Connor McDavid getting moved anytime. Honestly, when he gets picked up by one of those two teams, they're going to build around him. Connor McDavid is going to be the team that Connor McDavid is going to be on the team that they build around, because he is going to be a franchise player. It would take a straight up heads up franchise for franchise player, and on the other side, like first or second round or multiple first round draft picks in order to get Connor McDavid. So whoever gets Connor McDavid, they're locking him down. I'm calling that right now. Unless you put up a franchise and like an offer they can't refuse. It's got to be something like that for that. For like an example, if this was like 10 years ago, it would have to, and say Buffalo drafted Connor McDavid 10 years ago, it would have to be, like, say, from the Devils, Martin Brodeur, and, like, three firsts for, like, Connor McDavid or something. Like, something unexpected. But this isn't 10 years ago, and Marty is no longer in the shape that he was in back in 2004. And it's sad to say that I think he's still without a team right now. Officially, he's still without a team. Mm-hmm. But there's reports that he's going to be practicing with the Blues. That's bringing up some suspicions there.
Interesting.
Because Brian Elliott is still injured. And I remember I talked about it on Puck that a team with a good injured starting goalie and they're not confident in their backup. What's signing Martin Brodeur for a one-year, $2 million contract? Especially if you're a team that can afford it for the cap. Why not? Like,
oh, yeah.
Someone like Colorado, they could probably afford it. Like,
well, yeah,
St.
Like,
Louis, I mean, why not?
Yeah, like, you see, like, yeah, I would have, like, personally, as an Avs fan, like, I would have wanted to see someone like, yeah, like, if Colorado could have picked Brodeur up, because you see the problems that they've been having with Varlamov getting injuries, like, left, right, and center, and then obviously they've still got some issues, I guess, with Berra, and so they've had to put Picard in for a couple of games here. And
he's doing fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, like, I mean, you see, despite the fact that they lost the game against Chicago the other night, like, he put up 42 saves for a save percentage of .933. That's pretty good from a guy that you only just recently called up from the minors.
Exactly. And so that's kind of interesting that St. Louis is going after someone like that, just inviting him to come to practice. When you think of the way St. Louis is built, TJ Oshie, David Backes, Alex Pietrangelo, Jay Bouwmeester, Carl Gunnarsson, that blue line is solid. Same with that offensive core, even with Steve Ott and Tarasenko and Pearvey. It's a well-built team, but they've done this before, too. Look at last year. Who did they go out and get at the deadline? Ryan Miller, and they still ended up getting and knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, this is the same story with the St. Louis Blues. And even if you have Marty in the net, even as a backup until Elliott comes back, like, I think it's still going to be the same result for the Blues.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's a gamble. And, like, there's no question that, like, still at this point, Brodeur does have quite a bit to offer. But it's just, like, yeah, again, it's that whole thing about, you know, some players can have off nights, and it's like, at some point, your off nights can be a little bit more damaging. And yeah, if that were to come up and say, like, you know, oh, first round of the playoffs, like, yeah, it's gonna be quite the impact. So it's like, it remains to be seen who decides to pick up Brodeur, if anybody does, and how he's gonna do for that team.
All right, let's play fantasy booking here. You're the St. Louis GM, right? You mm-hmm. picked up Marty Brodeur for this year for, Let's be very generous for the guy. $3 million for the rest of the year, right?
Okay.
Okay. So you're in the playoffs. You've made it. Let's not go too crazy, but you're fourth seed, okay? You're midway in the West.
Okay.
You have Brian Elliott and you have Martin Brodeur. Both have put up good numbers. You've gotten fourth. You know, Marty's came in when he needs to be a backup. Now, what do you do? Do you go with Brian Elliott or do you go with Marty Brodeur?
I would honestly go with, like, I'd probably, for the main stretch of the series, I'd probably go with Brian Elliott just because he is the starter. He does have that consistency that, you know, he's been the go-to goalkeeper. And like, in some instances, like you said, that Brodeur's come in and, you know, put in decent performances. But if I'd say for the initial part of the series that you might want to have Elliott in net, and depending on how the series goes, if it starts dragging towards the end of a series, you might want to put Brodeur in because he's got the experience undoubtedly with later series and, you know, being able to grind out a result if need be.
You know what? I'm going to absolutely go with you. I would 100% put Brian Elliott in there. You need to instill in the guy that, okay, you're our number one. We got him in case anything goes wrong, but you are the number one. And after what they did last year with putting Miller in, I think that shakes the guy's confidence. You don't just be like, yeah, I put up stellar numbers for you, or like less than stellar numbers. We got in the playoffs this year, but you went and got another goalie. Like, that's heartbreaking for a start. It's like, well, they don't have faith in me. Like, what am I still doing here? So that's exactly what I would do. If, you know, this happens again, we're playing fantasy. This is all theoretical.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely, Brian Elliott would be the guy that I would go to. And they need someone like that to get through with that offensive core. Marty is just a bonus, but when you have superstars like Oshie and Backes, I don't know if really Backes is a superstar, but Wiki Backes. But
oh, I was holding that back.
I'd
as soon as you mentioned him.
But when you have like a superstar like Oshie, you know, those are the guys who are going to lead you. They're going to bring you to prosperity, and they're going to take you out of those dark zones and get you to the playoffs and get you those results.
Yeah,
superstars are a key part of your team. I'll give you an example of a good superstar move. Pavel Datsyuk, guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm calling it right now. He's going to the Hall of Fame first ballot. No problem. Still at his age, is able to do things that people still scratch their head at. Like, what is happening?
He's the Magic Man.
He plays a game against the Flyers. Puck kind of bounces up off the post, comes up. He's just like, I go with this. Bats it right into the net. Pavel Datsyuk bats it into the net.
He just made it look like something that he does every day, which, I mean, you know, probably does in practice. Works through all these different situations, like, okay, if the puck comes to me like this, what am I going to do? And it's just like, yeah, that muscle memory that he's developing with all these things, that's why he makes it look so easy. And I'm like, I mean, you see all the stuff that he pulls off, like his crazy puck control and that sort of thing. It's just, he can make opposition players look like pylons, Dion Phaneufs.
That's good.
Yeah. None. I mean, it's hopefully we'll be able to see a lot more of him in the coming years, that, like, you know, that he can still show us what he's capable
he
of.
Can, he absolutely can. I mean, he's Pavel freaking Datsyuk. That's all got to say. Some of the best hands in the biz. But to have coordination like that, which will come with years of playing in the NHL. I mean, going back to playing CBY, you know, Shanny, playing with guys like that and just picking it up. He really is the magic man. He's clutch in big-time situations. Overtime, he's got this. But a cool overtime finish that I've seen was John Tavares. You know, they're just cycling around. He gets the puck. Johnny T doing you, but what he does best, you know, earns the nickname. The next one, snipes it home. I mean, this was just a crazy, accurate, dynamic wrist shot that a guy like Johnny T Tavares can pull off.
Well, that's if you look back at it, you see that the defender kind of like slides right towards him, like does a diving kind of poke check.
Incredible patience.
Tavares just sidesteps him like it's nothing, and then he's like, okay, just gonna snipe it, and look at that. It's a very, very important goal for the Islanders in that case against the Capitals, and you know what? It's just like.
Exactly, and the Islanders are a team, like I told this before, where they got the superstar franchise player, and they're building around him, picking up, especially this year, Grabowski and Kuhlman, who are arguably good. They could be good second-line material when they're on their game, and they already got Opozo, and they really, really up their defense with Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy, which I'm really upset to see Nick Leddy go because I loved having him on the Blackhawks. But again, the off-season building, it worked out tremendously for them, and their stats and results they're showing. Yaroslav Halak in the net, they're a team that is built perfectly in the off-season.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know what to say about the Islanders anymore, but just like keep doing what you're doing, man, because I think they're going to surprise a lot of people in the East. Trust me. They're going to be that team where they come out, especially in the beginning part of the season. I hope they don't have like a part where they just go through a rough patch. That would really break my heart if they did, just because of all the promise they had, especially with a team like the Avalanche, who they went like 50-something in like 22 last season, and now they're kind of like fluttering. But again, still early in the season, still a lot of time, and those are two teams I really hope to see kind of reach the level that the Kings and Blackhawks are on, because those two teams alone are on like a whole different level. I mean, Dustin Brown, Andre Kopitar, Justin Williams, just carrying the team with Johnny Quick back behind the net, and same with Chicago. Guys like Kane, Tave, Sharp, Hossa, and even a guy like Brian Bickle stepping up and getting that win against actually the Avalanche. But the big story is Patrick Kane getting assists on all three goals, showing off those hands that only he has.
Well, it's like, I mean, you've seen this over the past couple of years, like ever since Kane's burst out onto the NHL scene, is that he's a player like in Datsyuk's case that they've just got such great hands. And like, yeah, like when he gets into momentum and that sort of thing, it's hard to be able to stop a guy like him, because he'll just skate rings around you and make you look silly. And then, yeah, of course, like when he's got guys around him like Jonathan Taves, like Patrick Sharp, Marian Hossa, and that type of thing, like all sorts of really, really skilled players, that it's just you can't really do a lot against them type of thing. It's hard.
It's hard to keep a team like that at bay and keep them limited to three goals. When at the end of any given night, they can make it like 7-6. They can score really a ton of goals and just make your defense and offense look ridiculously.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to close the show with a tradition we're going to do. We're going to give our predictions for the game games tomorrow, which what's the actual date tomorrow? Is the date tomorrow
So it's going to be the 28th.
Okay. Sorry, I had to look at my phone there. I'm usually not prepared. So in the first case, we got the New York Rangers versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Hamza, who do you give the edge to in this one?
I think I'm going to go with New York on this one, just because, like, as repetitive as – or I don't know, as repetitive, but the big, huge factor for me in that one is going to be Henrik Lundqvist, like a top-notch goalie. To have at the back for New York, and also the talent that they've got going forward too. It's gonna, I think that's gonna make the huge difference for them.
Absolutely, I'm gonna go with New York too for the above reasons, and the fact that their D-core is absolutely fantastic with Girardi, and then up front, like you said, you got the offense, you got Rick Nash, you got St. Louis, you got who else? Oh, Carl Hagelin. You know, they can really put the puck in the net. I'm giving the edge to New York on this one.
All right.
Chicago versus Anaheim. I'm biased. Chicago. Hamza?
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. Just Chicago, based on the absolute, like, it's, they've got way too much talent going both ways. Like they, like you said, we've mentioned all the offensive talent, but also they've got a great defensive core headed by Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, and also, obviously, Corey Crawford in net. I'd say it's going to be hard for Anaheim.
I'm not counting Anaheim out because they got the offensive guns to get it done as well. So I'm still picking Chicago, but that's personal bias. But Anaheim can get it done.
Yeah, so I think it might be one of those ones where it's going to be a hard-fought game.
Absolutely.
It's going to be very close at the end of it.
Absolutely. Okay, and New York Islanders versus Washington Capitals. It is tough.
You know what? I think I'm going to side with like New York Islanders for maybe a surprise little win right there. I can see it maybe that Washington might break out into an early lead and that maybe New York might drag it back and pip a little win right there.
I can see that, but I'm going to go with the offensive Washington Capitals. You got Backstrom, you got Ovechkin right there. Those two guys can break a game right there, so I'm going to have to go against you, and I'm going to have to say Washington just for that one.
So that's our first little disagreement there.
Yeah, I'd say okay. So we're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on that one. And yeah.
All right, Winnipeg versus Boston.
I'm going to have to go with Boston on this one just because it's just really – like Boston are a very dominant team physically, and they've also got like the offensive nos and some of their players that I just don't think that Winnipeg are going to be able to cope with the physicality of it.
No, Boston is truly a physical team, and you might not like guys like Lucic, Marchand, but
they do get the job done,
and they don't got Big Z, but they still got a good defensive core with Tuukka Rask, obviously, in the pipes. You know, he can steal a game from you,
oh, yeah.
And I think that offensive core is going to get it done. All right, Montreal versus Buffalo, Hamza.
Off the bat, I'm going to say Montreal just because Buffalo, Buffalo have been hapless this year. It's like, I mean, for some people, it's been tough to see in a sense because it's just like, you know, Buffalo, they've had some good players over the years, and to see them kind of fall down to what they've been going through this year, it's a little painful to see, but I'm going to say Montreal.
Yeah, honestly, if it was like the Sabres from like 3-4 years ago with Thomas Vanek, guys like Maxim Afanaganov, I know he's no longer there, but like Briere, that team, I think it'd hang with this Montreal team. But the team they have now with like Brian Gionta and like Ennis and Myers, it does not compare to the Montreal Canadiens. And two words, Carey Price. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Detroit Red Wings versus the New Jersey Devils.
I'm gonna go with Detroit on this one because of like some of the names that they've gotten there that are complete game changers for them, like the Magic Man. They've got, you know, guys like Zetterberg,
Abdelkader,
definitely. So yeah, no, I think definitely Detroit have enough game changers on their side to maybe scrap one out.
You know what? I want to go with New Jersey on this one. I've seen New Jersey surprise teams like Ottawa, and when you got Jágr, he's still at his age. He's a game breaker, and I think Schneider's gonna have a really good game tomorrow. So I'm gonna go with New Jersey on this one here.
Okay.
Carolina Hurricanes versus the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Again, like I seem to be siding with this a lot, but I think Pittsburgh have the raw talent up front to do the job. You know, again, Sidney Crosby. We covered this today, you know, he's in great form right now, but you've also got guys like Malkin, like Chris Kunitz.
And that type of...
yeah, I think they've got they've got enough offensive talent that I think they could overwhelm Carolina, who I don't think they've been the greatest this year, but, you know.
No. Yeah, Pittsburgh, I think, definitely has this. It's almost, I don't expect like a crazy blowout here, but if there's any person who's going to steal the game for Carolina, it's going to be Tim Gleason. No, it's not. I'm sorry, Timmy G. You're on my ultimate team, if that makes you feel any better. Vancouver Canucks versus the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I think this one's going to be like a very closely fought one. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot separating them. I could see this maybe going into overtime, and maybe I'd say Vancouver.
Vancouver? Solid. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with Columbus for one reason. Bobrovsky! And my boy Brandon Dubinsky. I love Dubinsky. He's a really good player. But that's it. Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky.
He's reckless. Ottawa versus Florida.
I think I'm going to go with Ottawa on this one. With someone like Carlson, like he's like a two-way defender like that, that it's just I think he can make a huge difference for Ottawa in this game. But then again, you know, Florida do have some all right people on their team. So I think it's going to be one of those ones that, again, it's going to be very closely fought.
Well, the fact that Luongo's injured, I would have said Florida just because of like the reasons I listed, like Boland, Bjugstad, Jokinen, Ekblad. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Ottawa as well, unfortunately. Unfortunately, because I don't like the Senators, but I think they're going to have the itch tomorrow. Although they do have one of the coolest backup goalies in the NHL because he's a badass name, Al Montoya.
Oh wow!
Isn't that a cool name?
My name is Al Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
See, it writes itself right there. Edmonton versus St. Louis.
Oh, honestly,
I hope Benny S gets the start in this one.
I think I'm maybe going to go with Edmonton on that one. Ooh.
You're going to go with Edmonton? Because I'm going to go with St. Louis. Just because the offense alone is going to get it done. And the Oilers have just been on like a slump as of late.
Fair enough.
But like any given day, anything can happen. So I think St. Louis has the edge in this one just because they're the stronger team. But, you know, what was it? Bill Clement was like, all good things come to an end and all bad things come to an end. Thanks, NHL. So, Hamza could be right on this one, but I'm going with the Blues. All right, so lastly, we got Minnesota versus the Dallas Stars.
Purely from what I've seen of the Stars, I'm going to hand it to them because I think Minnesota's kind of one of those more physical teams again, and I think that Dallas do have they're on a great streak right now. They seem to be enjoying life and that sort of thing, so I think they're on a hot enough streak that I'm going to go with Dallas on this one.
Fair enough. Honestly, I think it's Minnesota. I keep going back to this, but the offense. I don't have enough faith in Dallas's defense for them to shut down Parise, to shut down Niederreiter and Granlund. I don't think the defense is going to get it done. Minnesota's offense is going to take over, and I think they're going to get the win.
Okay. So we've got a couple of those right there that we disagreed on, and it's... They're definitely. I think those ones are going to be the games that we're paying attention to most, mostly just to settle these little roommate debates here.
Yeah, we're gonna have a. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna have a running tally of every time there's a games that we're against each other. Like we have different opinions here. Whoever gets the most points. So say I win the bout and Washington beats New York, but Hamza wins Detroit beats New Jersey. We're gonna do that where whoever has the most wins out of those. They're going to win the episode. So Hamza will keep a score. So Hamza will be like, if he wins a lot of his games, he'll be 1-0 and come back, you know, next week. And then I win, then I'll be 1-1. We'll keep a track of it.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll talk over this little challenge. We might see if we want to have a little bit of fun with that and have maybe a little mini punishments for the losers. Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
First, I wouldn't say mini as in like every episode, but I'd say like first to five or whatever gets to choose something or whatever like that, or has to admit something on the air. We'll go something like that because that seems a little bit more reasonable. Personally, I like that a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. So, like I said, we're gonna brainstorm it and see what's gonna work, and you never know.
Well, folks, this about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this debut edition of the podcast. It's kind of new that we're doing it with video. I just think it allows us to be a little bit more spontaneous, allows us to kind of like stay on track and not kind of like, because when you're doing a podcast, you can cheat all you want. You can like stop, you can like edit, you can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you can just like, you can just cheat the entire time. But with a actual video podcast here, you got to stay on top of your things. You got to be on the ball. And I like this. I think this is going to be something we continue to do in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it might not be restricted to necessarily just hockey. It might be something that we might leak over to our gaming stuff. You know, I might decide to do that for any footy stuff if I decide to do that. So it's definitely something that can open up a lot of stuff for us here. So
I'd like to quickly thank Canon for this nice HD camera. They didn't send it to us. I had to buy it. It kind of sucked that I had to buy it, but it's worth it because we're going to announce this right now here. We're going to be covering a lot more conventions. We're going to be bringing the camera with us, going to be doing interviews with cosplayers, different companies. We're going to cover conventions that way. So a little bit more informative, but don't worry. Hockey's still going to come at you every week in two different doses. Gaming's going to still keep coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
And things are looking bright.
Yeah.
So for Hemza K in PGP, keep your head up, keep your stick on the ice. Stay classy.
And keep it fresh.